So we're going to start now the halachas of Muktzah. Now, the first thing that we have to understand, and we're going to try. I don't know if we're going to get into any practical halacha this time, this year. We'll see what we get up to. But the main thing to be able to understand the halacha is to be able to give a little bit of a background as to we're going to try to give a little bit of a background to understand the basics of Hilchos Muktzah. Okay, and then we'll get from there to some practical stuff. So the first thing I want to explain is that, as we're going to see, most things that we come in contact to today, we use the word Muktzah very colloquially. If that's the right term.
Colloquially.
Right, repeat that.
Colloquially.
Okay. There you go. But really, a lot of the things that we refer to as muktzah are not really muktzah, and it makes a difference for halacha to understand that. Okay. And we're gonna explain that. It could be actually that we don't even come in contact with muktzah at all on a typical Shabbos, even though people think the muktzah is the most practical thing. You know, oh, that's muktzah. The kids say, well, that's a muktzah toy, and all that stuff. We're gonna see that. It's very important to distinguish between what's muktzah and what's not muktzah. Okay? So your typical pen, and, you know, just give me an example. What's muktzah?
A pen. Let's say, I have a practical question.
What's it? I'm getting a survey. What's muktzah? Give me the first thing that comes to mind.
Let's say a remote control.
Okay.
Car.
Okay.
Money.
None of those things are muktzah. None of what you just mentioned now. Maybe money is a big...
Learn something.
Yeah. None of those things have any shaykhis to muktzah. Okay?
But there's still all sorts of...
A cat maybe is muktzah. Well, that could be. That's a good example.
Good
job. Yeah. But we'll have to see what they are. What? Okay, so that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So that's just to give you an example where it's a term which is used, but we really have to understand, and the halachic difference between things which are muktzah and a pen are totally different halachas. Because a pen is not muktzah.
So when did it come to be?
So, you know,
it's confusing,
you know.
Yeah.
But because you're not allowed to do everything with a pen, so therefore people, you know, bunch it together with all the things you're not allowed to do. But it's not really the same point. So we have to get to understand what is muktzah and what's not muktzah. Alright?
Do you have a definition?
Yeah. So the definition of muktzah, what does muktzah mean? Lahaktos, to put something aside, to put something away. Muktzah means those things which are put aside from your use. You're not allowed to use it. We just took a survey here of all the, just to keep you updated, that of all the things which people tend to think which are muktzah. So the first thing people said is a car or remote control, a pen, money, to which I said, none of those things are muktzah. What did you say?
That was a shocker.
Yeah, that's a shocker, right? So that's what we're here for, to understand what's muktzah. What are those, what category do those things
what's
fall
your
under?
Muktzah of choice.
So Jerry was good. He came up with a good one. A cat.
And that got in the empty category. A cat.
Yeah.
To some people, animals are muktzah.
Right. I don't know, to some.
Many New Yorkers, Brooklyn. Most people in Brooklyn feel like animals, pets,
that are not yours.
If that's the halacha, then it probably should be true in Miami also. And if it's not, then it's not in New York either. So we have to get to the halacha and see what happens. But
so
the
put aside. So it's something that's
okay.
Put aside.
So muktzah means that which is put aside. Muktzah means you are not thinking about it. You're not thinking about using it. Now the source. Now this is all rabbinic, but the rabbinic source for muktzah is a pasuk. It says in the pasuk they hate by the mon. Remember, Klal Yisrael, the mun that they ate on Shabbos didn't fall on Shabbos, right? The mun that they ate on Shabbos, they brought in on Friday. So it says there, it says that Klal Yisrael were veheichinu es asher yaviu. They prepared that which they were about to eat. So Chazal learned out from there that everything that you're going to use or eat on Shabbos needs to be prepared for use before Shabbos. So the idea is that muktzah is that which is not prepared, And the heter are the things which you're allowed to use on Shabbos are those things which are prepared for use. So muchan, it's called muchan. Muchan means prepared. So something which is prepared for use. Now, it doesn't mean you have to sit down before Shabbos, go through your closet again preparing that tie, that shirt. It doesn't what it means. It means it's prepared for use. That's what it is. It's something which is set aside to be used on Shabbos versus something which is set aside not to be used on Shabbos. Right? That's the point. Okay? So now, something which is, that's muktzah versus muchan. Okay, so let me give you an example. What's mukhan? Okay, now there happens to be mukhan. It's prepared. It's ready. Ready to go. Ready. Right. What's mukhan in modern Hebrew? It's ready. Okay. So we have something which is mukhan versus something which is not mukhan. So I'll give you an example. First of all, just for our information, there is a big machlokes in the Gemara which carries through the whole Masechta Shabbos. For anyone that's learning Daf Yomi, you're going to get to it soon. It carries through a lot of Masechta Shabbos and a lot of Masechta Zbeya. Okay? It carries through a lot of places. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah. So this is a good thing for anyone that's learning Muktzah to know, is that, you know, it's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah. Just to get a little taste, so we not understand where we're going. Okay? The machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Muktzah is the following, in a nutshell. Let's say you have something. You have a specific type of item which could theoretically be used on Shabbos, but it's not omed to be used. What does omed to be used means? It's not practically, usually used for that particular use. Okay, so you have something which theoretically you could use for Shabbos, but the use which it's usually set aside for is not a Shabbos dika use.
Hammer to open a walnut.
No, I'll give you a better example. Let's give that. That's a little more confusing. No, the example given. Let's give you an example of the Gemara says raw meat. Now, some people eat raw meat, especially in the old days. I guess they would eat raw meat. There's certain types of meat that was salted or whatever. You could eat it raw. Okay, so raw meat. Theoretically, there has a use on Shabbos because you could eat it raw. But that's not the practical use that you try to usually. That's not what usually when you buy raw meat. That's not what you're holding it for. You're holding it to cook it, which you can't cook on Shabbos. So if you look at the most practical, the most, you know, basic use of the item, is it mukhan for Shabbos? Is it mukhan for Shabbos use?
No.
No, because in order to use it on Shabbos, you'd have to cook it, and you can't cook on Shabbos. So, if you look at the most basic use of this thing, is it mukhan for Shabbos? No. But is it possible theoretically that you could use it on Shabbos? Yes. So, this is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. How do you look at a piece of meat? How do you look at these type of things? Which is, it has a theoretical use on Shabbos, but it doesn't have a practical use on Shabbos. So is that considered muktzah? Does that mean that you're not thinking about it? That's it, it's out, it's not set aside for Shabbos use? Or do you say, no, it is set aside for Shabbos use because it has a theoretical use? Understand what I'm saying? So that's the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon obviously is more lenient because Rabbi Shimon holds that anything which is a possible use on Shabbos, that already is called, that's mukhan. That's prepared for Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds not like that. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's not mukhan for Shabbos. We pass in like Rabbi Shimon. So it means in these things we're more lenient. Okay, but nowadays, by the way, a raw piece of meat would be muktzah because people don't eat it raw meat today. So today, raw meat would be muktzah. So this is very practical just to know. We're going to get to it in more detail. But if you open up your freezer, when you want to get out the cake or the challah that's frozen, but in order to get there, you have to move the raw meat. You can't do that.
So Rav Shimon Paskins
that raw meat as long as it has a use.
A theoretical use,
yeah.
So you can use it.
Yeah. And that's what we pass on Shabbos like Rav Shimon. On Yom Tov we pass on like Rav Yehuda. That's why it's very complicated. But on Shabbos we pass on like Rav Shimon. So you understand a raw piece of meat, if I asked you, if we go back and say what's example of muktzah, a pen, let's leave that aside. A good example would be a raw piece of chicken, a raw piece of meat that has no use for Shabbos.
So technically if you're putting bottles of soda in the freezer to cool off for Shabbos, and you move a piece of chicken or
you can't do that. Right. Right.
Wrong. Unless you could use wrong. Frozen.
Or for example, having
chicken to crack open walnuts.
No. Oh, so this Tzorach Makome thing is. Yeah, but you're not allowed to move meat and chicken for Tzorach Makome. It's a big myth, misconception.
What did you say?
Space.
He said, well, you're moving it for a tzarech, you're moving it for a need. That's all because this is all part of the confusion, what I said earlier, which is that when I first asked people at the beginning of the year, what do people think is muktzah? So we took a survey, and everything that people said was muktzah. The first four things that people said are muktzah, which is like a pen, or like a remote money. Control, money. None of those things are muktzah. That's nothing to do with muktzah. That's a different isser, which we're going to get to. So that's why it's confusing, because those things have a heter tzarech mukavim, but that's not muktzah. So muktzah is a raw piece of meat. So one of the guys in the kol, when we were learning this, his wife opened the freezer, and the kishka, the raw kishka that she was going to use for next week, rolled out of the freezer. Okay, so now if you pick it up and put it back in the freezer, because otherwise it's going to get ruined. But the halach is, you're not allowed to move it. But it's raw piece of meat. Raw kishka, you can't eat it.
I thought even with muktzah, if something is going to get damaged, like a camera is left on it, well, probably a camera's not even...
Camera's not muktzah.
So you couldn't put, you drop the meat or the whatever...
But if you're going to take a loss, you can't move it?
What about ice?
Unless it's a huge loss, you have to think about it. But no, regular...
What about ice?
No, ice you could use, because ice you could put in a drink and use.
What about ice that's made over Shabbos?
That could be also...
You don't know if it was made over...
Yeah. Oh, ice in an ice machine. Well, in the bin, isn't there a different problem? Because if you take it out, it's going to make more ice?
No, because usually they have sensors now that will... It's once it's full, it's like a lever that goes up and down.
Yeah, but if you take it out, so you're making it empty.
Because usually how much you take out? The lever is low.
I guess it depends how much you take out.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. No, so theoretically, ice which is made on Shabbos is a big shiloh. Now, by the way, just to get off topic, but why is ice that's made on Shabbos a problem? What's the lashon? Anyone know the lashon? The lashon is called nolad. Something which is born on Shabbos. Something which is created on Shabbos is theoretically muktzah. But why? Why is nolad muktzah? So the reason nolad is muktzah is because of the concept we just said. Because everything has to be muchan before Shabbos. Muchan means prepared. If it wasn't here, how could it be prepared? It rains on Shabbos. How could that be prepared? It's nolad. It wasn't even here. So obviously you didn't prepare it.
For rain, it's prepared. If you pour water or soda onto the ice, that's
okay,
going to melt.
That's a different issue.
That's another problem.
That's a different issue, though. That's like...
You made the point earlier that some people do eat raw meat. Now, for those that do eat raw meat, does that...
For that particular person, but it's not enough of a segment of society that it creates... That meat has that use. It's a very insignificant, portion of society.
Ice is for all the kids and stuff.
No, food is food. That's fine.
What I'm saying,
but you should put it in a place.
The freezer, and they take ices all Shabbos long, especially in the afternoon.
Not only that, I'll tell you what I started doing. Or barley. Let's say you have raw barley for the chon. So I keep all, because we keep yashon, so we have to buy like 30 bags of barley now. And we have to put it in the freezer because of bugs. But if you put it in the door of the freezer, so every time you open it, you're moving the barley.
And also
you're moving the barley by opening the door.
But that's
you gotta put everything in the side. It's not so posh. You gotta reorganize your whole freezer. It's a good thing the women didn't come to this year.
Move something, but not directly.
Yeah, tilt them in that side. Very good. Okay, so you're already getting there. But this is gonna be way later in the thing. So now, so raw food. It doesn't apply in anywhere. If there's mukta stuff in the fridge, then yes. If not. Raw eggs in the fridge are mukta.
I want to find out really what's mukta.
No, unless you say, some people say that since Chazanim, it says Mishabura, that Chazanim eat raw eggs to make their voice thing. But I don't think anyone does that today. Who?
You can't have raw eggs on your door?
What?
You can't have raw eggs?
You could.
I'm not saying you can't. Okay, I'm not sure. That's a good question. But you definitely, if the eggs are sitting there and you want to move them around, that's muktzah. You're not allowed to move eggs. Eggs have no use for Shabbos. So why is everyone saying pens are really, these are the things which are muktzah. Muktzah are things which have no use for Shabbos. So raw food, raw meat, raw chicken, raw kishka, raw eggs, those things are muktzah. Now, most of the ingredients in the fridge are not muktzah because most of them are usable things. Ketchup and these things are all usable things. But eggs is a good example where or vegetables. Raw vegetables are used.
Batteries, people keep batteries in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I don't know where batteries come from.
Yeah, like batteries.
Now,
what is that category of all that other stuff? Of electronics and stuff like that?
It's a kli shemalachta l'eser. Okay, a kli, which is used first, but it's a kli, a vessel. A kli is a usable thing. That's the point that we're going to get to. Okay,
so now what's the whole
kli shemalachto Well, malacha. Like what it's used. Malachtoi, it's malacha, it's for iser. Le'iser is used for iser, it's prohibited. What you use it for is prohibited, but it's not prohibited. It has a use. It's just prohibited to do it. We'll get to it.
On Shabbos.
Yeah. So, again, so those things are muktzah, and those things are also betotal. Now, anything which you're not allowed to move, the iser muktzah includes moving, obviously. And anything which you're not allowed to move, because it falls under this category, you're not allowed to move for any reason. Not because, well, you need it, you want to use it for something else, you want it to crack a walnut. You may be able to take a hammer to crack a walnut, but you can't take a piece of meat to crack a walnut.
A frozen piece of meat.
Right. You can't do that. You can't touch it. You can't move it. Not
even
touch. You can't move it.
Theoretically, you could do it.
Right. But you can't do it. It's awesome.
If a neighbor wants to borrow a piece of meat, can you take it?
Who?
If a neighbor.
Why would the neighbor? A guy? No. No. It's also a bit. You're not allowed to move it.
No. If an ex-neighbor says, can I borrow a piece of frozen meat?
You can tell him to go get it, but you can't if it's for himself. Okay? So this is the machlokes again, This is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We pass on Rabbi Shimon, and therefore these things on Shabbos are considered muktzah. Now I'll give you another example. Another example is stones, avanim, eitzim v'avanim. You know, you have, let's say, schach. You took the schach off you took the palm fronds off your sukkah and you put it on the ground. That's muktzah. You can't move it on Shabbos. There's no use. It's not a usable item. It's not mukhan for any use on Shabbos. Right? It's not a usable item. So if, let's say, you put it down, and as you Thursday, after Sukkot, you started clearing off your sukkah, and then on Shabbos, you realize, well, this is in the way, you want to move it, you can't move it. Now, if it's mamash going to be mazik people, it's a sakana, that's a different story. I'm saying, but generally speaking, it's also, you're not allowed to move it. Or stones, right? Pebbles, stones, those things are taka mukta. Okay? That's taka nisr. But and those things, is taka no exception. I'll give you one more example just to understand a little bit the machlekes we do in Shimon. There's another case of a chatzoitzeris. Chatzoitzeris is like a trumpet. I don't want to confuse things too much, but just to give the point. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's muktzah because it has no use on Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon says it's not muktzah because theoretically you could use it to pour water in and use it as a cup. So it has a theoretical use for Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon, like I'm saying, Rabbi Shimon is much more broad in his understanding.
We said theoretical, it doesn't mean theoretical.
People
like
do it.
Can't.
No, but he says people do it. Apparently people did it. Okay, but that we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore only things which mamash have no use for Shabbos at all, they're not usable at all, those things are in the category of muktzah. So we'll see, there's more things also. But this category is primarily just to bring out the idea of mukhan versus muktzah, okay? Now, let's talk about a little bit, why did Chazal make this iser? Okay, why did Chazal make the iser of muktzah? So this is a big because it's not midaraisa. So this is a big machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says three reasons why they made muktzah. Very interesting reasons. He says one reason is because, like we learned last month, he says Chazal said you're not even allowed to talk on Shabbos about what you talk about during the week. Remember that topic? You're not allowed to talk about what you talk about during the week. You're not allowed to read on Shabbos what you read during the week. You know, you're not allowed to read certain things. There's limitations about what you're allowed to read, what you're allowed to talk about. So he says, kal v'chomer, there should be limitations on what you're allowed to move around and what you're allowed to play with. So what? So therefore he says that's awesome. He says another very interesting thing. He says the whole point of Shabbos is Shabbos should be different than during the week. Now how is Shabbos different than during the week? How's Shabbos different? Because you don't work on Shabbos. But he says he has a big problem in the Rambam. He says there are some people that don't work during the week either. So for those people that don't work during the week, how do they know what the difference between Shabbos and weekday is? If the only thing that Shabbos is going to be different is that if you plow and you have a farm and you work hard during the week, you don't work on Shabbos. Good, but let's say the guy doesn't do that during the week either. The guy stays in bed the whole week. He just stays around, hacking around in his house all day. So for him, there's not going to be any difference between Shabbos and the weekday.
The Rambam.
So therefore, they instituted muktzah so that for everybody, there should be a difference between Shabbos and weekday. There's like a mice with their gifter. That's what the Rambam says. So this is Mefush Rambam. So there's like a mice with their gifter. I was just telling someone over this mice, it reminded me. He was a rav in Waterbury, I think in the early years before he became a Shiva in Cleveland and fell. So he's walking up the street and a Jewish guy he saw a Jewish guy, an old Jewish guy, driving up the street, up the hill, where he was walking. And then he drives, he pulls down his window, he says, Rabbi, you want a ride? So Rav Gifta says, Vos is mitaich, what's wrong with you? It's Shabbos. So he says, oh, I totally forgot it's Shabbos. My Rebbetzin was nifter a year ago. No, so he says, oh, I'm so sorry. And then he keeps on going. He drives around the back and comes back to Rebbe Gifter. And he says, I just have to tell you, I forgot it was Shabbos because my wife died a year ago. And she always used to make cholent on Shabbos. And that's how I remember it was Shabbos. But she died and I don't have cholent anymore. So I don't remember it's Shabbos. So I forgot. So Rebbe Gifter said, you drove around and did another block of Chol Shabbos to tell me that? What's wrong with you? And I remember on the Shmuz, so he says, if your whole Shabbos is cholent, you're going to eventually forget it's Shabbos. You have to make sure your Shabbos isn't just about cholent. But like the Mussar? So that was the moment. But the Rambam says, a guy could go and not realize that it's Shabbos. Right? So says the Rambam that's why they instituted Muktzah.